This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Once again, it's time for our weekly segment, Thursday Coast, with the founder of the largest online progressive community, DailyCoast.com, the founder of Civics with a Q, the polling firm, and the host of The Brief, the ever-popular podcast. Marcos joins us once again. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So we were just chatting before we started the show, trying to figure out what the surprise is about Tucker's text message. And it seems to be one in particular. Although I doubt, you know, they probably just throwing us this one. There might be some worse than this. There were rumors that he had, you know, he was making disparaging comments about other people in the workplace, maybe even Rupert. They probably just don't want us to see those right now. So I'm not even convinced this is the only one. The dude probably has just had diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of that in that lawsuit that were redacted.
You know, and I was just saying to Marcos, anybody who's had any, you know, even minimal experience in the corporate world, there's a point when the corporate attorneys come in and just say, you can't do this anymore. Yeah. or else you're going to be paying out a lot more money.
Yep.
So here it is in all of its glory. This is what he tweeted. And the dude has a problem, clearly. And we'll deal with that. But this is what he wrote. January 7th, 2021. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching video of people fighting on the street in Washington. A group of Trump guys surrounded an Antifa kid and started pounding the living shit out of him. It was 3-1, at least. Jumping a guy like that is dishonorable, obviously. And then he makes this very interesting statement. It's not how white men fight. Yet suddenly I found myself rooting for the mob against the man, hoping they'd hit him harder, kill him. I really wanted them to hurt the kid. I could taste it. That's kind of sick. Then somewhere deep in my brain, an alarm went off. This isn't good for me. I'm becoming something I don't want to be. The Antifa creep is a human being. Much as I despise what he says and does, much as I'm sure I'd hate him personally if I knew him, I shouldn't gloat over his suffering. I should be bothered by it. I should remember that somewhere somebody probably loves this kid and would be crushed if he was killed. If I don't care about those things, if I reduce people to their politics, how am I better than he is? That's the text. I'll let you have first. Go with that.
I mean, it's vintage Tucker. I mean, he's said, not only has he said things like that on his show before, but worse than that on his show before. So I don't understand why that would be the trigger to let them go, unless Fox brass assumed that Tucker's show was all an act. And as long as he wasn't like that in real life, it was okay. As long as he was just playing to the roofs for ratings, that was fine. That's the only thing, the only reason that would make sense. Because there's nothing about that he hasn't said, and much worse than that, actually.
This, according to the New York Times, this specific text, and like I said, I doubt that it's the only one that alarmed them. But they were alarmed. This is right before the Dominion litigation. I guess they were on their way in the court. You know, I'm honestly, I've never looked at who's on their board either. So we don't know what those people are into and how they right. may have been impacted if this had gotten out. What, you know, what part of the world, that might be something interesting. I don't know if anybody's ever bothered to look at that. It might be something to look at. But this did it. And then he's gone. This is not how white men fight. A friend pointed out that's partially true because normally in our history, they just hang us, lynch us, and burn us to death and mm-hmm. castrate it. So maybe that's what he meant, that that's maybe that's what they should have done. And then what it also curiously does not say, and this might have something to do to it too, Marcus, while we're talking about this out loud, this might have something to do with it too. It doesn't say to whom the text was sent. You know, and that might be an issue. Like maybe that went to someone that definitely does not want it to be known that they're communicating with him in that way. Because okay. then the question becomes with a guy like that, because see, litigiousness is litigiousness. You release that. And then Tucker says, well, wait a minute. I want to defend myself. I want to let you all know who I sent it to and what their response was. Mm-hmm. It's no telling who that was on that board or any place else in the corporation. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right. No, I was just going to say that there's workplace rules and laws where if you're creating a hostile work environment, that could become a problem. So he could be saying on air because that's a business function of Fox News. But if he's sending that same material to an employee who feels uncomfortable by it, it's a whole different equation at that point. Because that's no longer a workplace or a business requirement. Right. And so just to be a very crass example, a porn studio can have sexually explicit video because that's the function, that's a business function. But if an employee of that same studio sexually harassed a secretary or another employee, that would be a problem because that's no longer a business function. Racism is fine on the air, but not fine.
Right.
Employee to employee.
I had, and when I was on SiriusXM, I had that experience once. There was briefly there was a producer of mine, she ended up leaving, who applied for the job for my show. And turns out she was a black Republican. And I refer to black Republicans on the air as Uncle Tom's, right? So she files something with the company, right?
She did get hired.
She got hired, but okay. We didn't know. Nobody knew. She just applied as a producer. And I mean, of course, people with different political ideologies still want to work as producers. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
when the side says, all right, well, you know, we'll still deal with lawsuit. But then she began to have problems with the direction of the show and conversations on the air. And so I asked her, not on air one day, are you a black Republican? Which technically is not a pejorative term. She was black and right. she was, maybe I should just ask, she was a Republican. So she reported me and said, I called her an Uncle Tom, but I didn't. I asked if she was a black Republican. Mm-hmm. And then she said, well, he calls black Republicans Uncle Toms. So she mm-hmm. felt as if I was calling her an Uncle Tom simply by asking her if she was a black Republican, even though I never used the word Uncle Tom. And unfortunately for her, the HR people and the lawyers come in and we're in this room. I mean, I'm getting to this. It's sort of a funny story, but probably wasn't to her. They say, well, Mark, you cannot. We know you didn't call on Uncle Tom, but just to be clear, you can call anybody an Uncle Tom on the air,
right?
But not in the workplace.
Yeah.
And they said it once, but then they kept saying it as if it was sort of mocking, like, you know, like if you call her an Uncle Tom to her face in the workplace, you can't call an Uncle Tom. But yeah. you can call anybody an Uncle Tom on the air. But you just can't call her an Uncle Tom. And they kept saying it. And people were trying to keep a straight face, right? that's a true story. And I'm like, wait a minute. I said, why y'all have to keep saying it over and over again? Yeah. So we'll make sure you understand. You can't call her an Uncle Tom in the workplace. But you can call anybody an Uncle Tom on it. So I said, okay, I got it. And needless to say, she didn't last very long. But in fact, this was during the time when, do you remember, Marcos and I have been doing this over a decade. and we love to make each other laugh. You all remember when, what was the woman running for Senate? Was it I forget where it was.
Oh, but Delaware? Was
she, but she was a witch.
It?
Remember?
Yeah.
She was a, what was
Christina,
her name?
Christine O'Donnell?
Something like that. Yeah, she was a witch.
Yeah, I think it was Christine O'Donnell.
And this particular producer had some sympathy for her and was a student of, and I really held my mind, you know, I'm a minister. At one point, she accused me of being insensitive to other faiths, like the Wiccan faith.
Right.
And Wiccan is the witchcraft.
Yeah.
Faith. And I really had to stop back and say to myself, what really am I? Am I discriminatory against witches? I didn't know. But that was an interesting experience for me. And I even thought for a minute, well, maybe I need to be embrace more witches.
And she wasn't even a witch. She was just
right.
Just weird where somebody accused her of being a witch, and she put out a TV ad saying, "I'm not a witch." Right? You don't pay to repeat the attacks against you.
Right.
So it wasn't even like, "Oh, Wiccans are bad." It's just making fun of her, just how incompetent she was handling the whole situation.
So last part of the story is the young lady wanted me to put some people of the Wiccan persuasion on the show. And
the Fed Christina.
Yeah. Now again, I'm the guy. Well, not just that. She wanted me to be open, just try to educate the audience about the Wiccan piece. Now, remind you, I'm the guy who was, if you all remember, I was one of the first prominent members of Black clergy to hold a show, have a show, host a show, and have guests on endorsing and promoting marriage equality. This is before Biden made. This few years before Biden did what he did and made Obama endorse it. And it was not a popular thing to do. So I'd done that, and I brought some people with me, changed some minds. Some clergy called me, Marcos, and said, "Mark, we wasn't with you on marriage equality. But if you start having witchcraft, and we are ministers, we're not going to be with you on that one. You got to choose which one you're going to pick." So literally, I had to make a strategic decision. Say, you know what? I can fight every battle. I can't fight every battle. I can fight some. I said, marriage equality, we got that. We got the clergy on board, but I don't think I can get them. They're not going to support me having, you know, witchcraft on the show. But anyway, that's what happened. But to Marcos's point, that is true. When, you know, even in this broadcast, I mean, when you're doing this as a function, you can do it. Now, you want to do it in the right way. We're not talking about killing people, but this is what Tucker's talking about. And he's saying that to someone. And we don't know who it is, and that probably was a factor. There was somebody in that boardroom that he sent that text to Marcos, and they didn't knock it down. Yeah, the attorney's going to say, you don't want this to come out. And any other text messages he sent all y'all in this room, that's all going to come out. And whatever your business is, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, we know what Chick-fil-A does. But we know Chick-fil-A can't afford to have somebody, and I'm not saying that they were, but let's just say hypothetically, he's texting a big corporate executive. They may agree with Tucker, but they don't want to see a stream of text messages where they are in writing agreeing with him about killing somebody in Antifa or. So you got to shut that down. So I'm sure there will be more to come out. There are other suits on the table, but
so many.
But more importantly, and it's the policy. So, for example, after a victory in North Carolina, there's been a setback. And now we see what's going on in Tennessee and states like that. You look at a place like North Carolina, where, you know, they're talking about setting us back even more and joining these other states. That's the real life, tangible, hands-on, everyday kitchen table effect of a Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, and North Carolina is one of those places that's really frustrating because we had a liberal Supreme Court that had been really pushing back against, you know, the partisan gerrymandering, against the efforts to eliminate abortion. And Republicans, through the ballot box, won a majority of that Supreme Court. And this is just a function of they, again, you know, we managed to beat back the tide in Wisconsin. And a lot of good things are going to happen. But it did not happen in North Carolina. And so what that means is that the previous court had ruled the districts to be illegally gerrymandering. It's one of the worst gerrymanders. It gave what is basically plus three Republican state. So very, very light lean red state, gave them super majorities in both chambers of the legislature. And now they're going to use, they've already decided today or yesterday, they announced that they're going to be using that supermajority to ban abortion in the state of North Carolina. North Carolina is actually one of the sort of outposts in that whole region, because, you know, Florida's now banned it. Georgia has banned it. Obviously, Alabama, Mississippi. So North Carolina was a place, Kentucky, Tennessee, right? So North Carolina was sort of the oasis in that region, and now that's going to go away. And so what is kind of a disappointment that we didn't engage electorally and beat back that effort in a state that is close enough where we should have won those battles. But on the other hand, you have a Republican Party that has lost the last three elections because of the radical politics, and they lost last year in a midterm election where Republicans should have had a red wave, and they lost it because, in large part, because of abortion, and they are doubling down. And so what they're doing is, you know, the silver lining here may be that there is a big chunk of North Carolina. By demographics, North Carolina should be definitely purple state, if not lean blue, by demographic. But young people don't vote at the rates that they should be. This may actually wake up that constituency the way that they did in Wisconsin and other critical battlegrounds. And so it may actually, again, it may be Republicans with a short-term victory, but giving us the tools that we need to organize and grow that coalition and engage and activate that coalition and turn North Carolina into a blue state, because it can be done. But it just blows my mind that they are so trapped in their ideology, that in their bubble, and Fox News and Tucker Carlson are a big part of that, that they don't see those danger signs. I mean, even Donald Trump has sounded the alarm on abortion restrictions, saying that it's hurting the Republican Party. And Donald Trump is freaking stupid. If he can see the danger, if he can see, and you know, he's a reason for that. It's his judges that are doing this. If he can see the danger, it's amazing to me that so many Republicans continue to go down this path and just really screw themselves electorally for the short term, for sure, and probably into the mid and long term.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What I don't understand, though, I've never understood, we've talked about this before too, Marcos, is what they don't get about math. And it's like they just are, they're really are religiously opposed to mathematics and arithmetic. Yeah. What do they think they know that we don't know? So, for example, I mean, we went years, people like you and me, as allies and others as allies in the Roe movement, saying the sky's falling. And admittedly, there were those in our constituency to say, y'all keep saying that, but it's not really gonna happen. Now it's happened. What do they think women are going to change their minds? Well, it's gone now. So you know what? We're okay with it being gone. And then the headlines don't stop, because each state is still getting more draconian. So they don't even know. It's kind of like, The state legislatures become their own Marjorie Taylor Greens at the State of the Union. Okay, Supreme Court knocked it down. Just be quiet. No, we're going to push it in the states and come up with bans that are even more draconian. 2 weeks, when most people don't even know whether they're pregnant after 2 weeks. So I'm just really don't understand, who do they think What? Who do they think is gonna? Unless they've got unless they've got their own math down to a science, where they know exactly the demographics in what districts that will keep the House in their pocket. But that's pretty much all they're going to get is the House out of that, because you can cut up the House that way. You can't cut up the Senate that way. You can't cut up the Electoral College that way.
I mean, one of the ways they deal with it is just they try to alter that math. So what we're seeing in Ohio and Missouri is that they're trying to change the ballot initiative rules so that you need 60% to pass a ballot initiative. Now, we saw in Kansas, blood red state, first state to vote on abortion, and it was a dramatic victory for the pro-choice crowd, right? It was a 59-41 decision, 18 points. That is an absolute, you know, beatdown. It wasn't 60%. And so it's no mistake that, and of course it passed in Kentucky by 53%. So it's no mistake that Missouri and Ohio, they don't trust their voters. They've gerrymandered it so that they get elected. They still don't trust their voters on these issues that drive, ideologically drive them, but don't particularly drive the entire population, the vote. So that's why they're trying to shift those votes. There is a growing sort of movement on the right to call out, you know, you've seen that in the Weekly Standard. Ann Coulter was another one who is saying, guys, like, we won, like, keep pushing and it's going to hurt us. And so there's a bunch of conservatives that see the math. The problem is that math helped them for so long, right? They drove their voters out for decades. The last 50 years, they built their movement on anti-abortion in the church, in the Christian Coalition. And the argument, it wasn't as simple as, guys, let's devolve this right back to the states. Like, that was never the argument, right? The argument was abortion is murder. It's a Holocaust. Millions of babies are being killed. And so it's really hard to go to people who, you know, who've been conditioned to think of abortion as murder and say, it's only murder for the first, you know, for the first 16 weeks. It's not really murder, guys. Like, it's only murder. Like, they've been conditioned that it's an absolute murder, right? So trying to find that compromise, because 16-week bans are horrible, but they are an easier sell. It seems they can make an argument that it's reasonable. I don't think it is, right? But there is an argument that they can try and make, and there are people that will buy that argument. Thing is, they cannot make that argument anymore. You cannot compromise on murder. Mark, I can be like, you know, murdering people is bad, but you know what? Until they're 27, it's okay to murder them.
right.
It's okay. Once they're 28, no more. Like, no more murder. No, you can't make that argument. Murder is murder. So once you've established that as your core ideology, your core philosophy, your core morality, how do you compromise? So you have more, you know, like you said, like, you know, Republicans who know how to do math, who know how to count, who looked at the election results, and they're realizing that the abortion issue isn't going anywhere. It's only going to multiply. I mean, it's magnifying. We're organizing around this issue. We're getting young people to vote. We won the Wisconsin Supreme Court race that revolved around abortion by 10 or 11 points in a 50-50 state, in the most 50-50 state. So clearly it's an issue that motivates our side to vote. And they won. So it actually lessens their urgency on the issue. It's the opposite of, you know, always when you're in the out, you're more you're more motivated to make things happen. So like you said, people are like, you know, people keep saying they're going to ban abortion, but they never do. So I don't really care. It's all fear mongering. And then suddenly it happens. Now, right. Like, oh, you know, now right. You're on the out.
Right.
So it's they're in the bind because they've conditioned their voters to think of this as an absolute moral absolute. And you can't compromise on the moral absolute. You can't even look the other way. And I don't think they ever thought this was going to happen. Republican Party thought that this was an issue that we're going to keep using forever. The Supreme Court could keep chip away a week here, a week there, parental consent here. They thought they could just, you know, keep nipping at the edges, but keep the issue alive electorally. And so this has been an absolute disaster for them. It's a disaster for women. It's a disaster for all of us. But it's also politically, it's a disaster for them.
Yeah. Well, it hopefully remains a disaster, and we're going to continue to capitalize on it. The debt limit. Janet Yellen says by June 1st, we could be defaulting, the United States could be defaulting on its bills. So Hakeem Jeffries says there's a way to do this without the leadership in the House. And it's called a discharge petition, but they'll need five Republicans to go along with it. I mean, is that far-fetched? Some of them might know their own math, and they might have incentive to go ahead and jump on that.
I think there's, if I remember correctly, and I could be off by one or two, but I think there's 18 Republicans that are in Biden districts. Now, there was an article in Politico a couple of days ago that these Republicans were whining that Joe Biden has not reached out to them. And, it was a weird argument. They voted lockstep with leadership every step of the way. Literally every vote, they voted with leadership. There's no indication that they'll split. Now, this is a place where clearly blaming them for cuts on popular programs, on abortion, I think most of those 18 will be gone. I don't see, when I look at the districts and when I look at the math, it's not looking good for them. That's why I am confident that the House will be Democratic after next year, in a way that I can't say about the Senate. But the House looks really, really good for us. There's reasons that Democrats don't hold those seats, mostly because we underperformed in California and New York for a little different reasons, but mostly because there was no urgency. You know, California is solidly, they're both very solidly Democratic states. So it was harder to get them out as opposed to states where people were actually threatened. So can we get five of those? It's going to be a good question. I mean, some of those real marginal types, maybe not in a plus eight Biden district, but maybe those in a plus two, plus three. If the nation defaults, it'll be on them, 100% on them. And they will be dead candidates walking. I mean, they're not getting reelected. If they join with Democrats, they have a good campaign ad to say, oh, they're so bipartisan and they save the country and they buck their party. I mean, it would be good politics for them. They may still lose, but they actually have a chance of surviving. And so the question is, are they more afraid of their own leadership or are they more afraid of the voters? And there's also a scenario because Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, said that he will not compromise on, he promised that to the Freedom Caucus on the spending cuts. He promised it, no backing down. He could do a wink, wink with some of these, you know, Republicans and give them an out, give them a quiet out saying, you know, he's not going to go after them if they back the Democrats. But, you know, they're going to get attacked by Marjorie Taylor Greene and all the, you know, the Trump people. And so it's, they're in a bit of a no-win situation. You do need five of them. And so I don't know. I don't know what they're more afraid of. I don't know if they're more afraid of tanking the global economy or if they're more afraid of Donald Trump. In fact, I probably do know the answer. I mean, I don't know if we can count on them.
Yeah.
Because they're all, I mean, we see the Republican Party walking off a cliff because of Donald Trump.
Right.
He's led them three straight losing elections and he still can't quit them.
Amazing.
And the problem, Mark, too, is that a lot of them don't care, right? Republicans want that destruction. They don't believe in these. They're nihilist. They are a nihilist party and they don't believe in the democracy. They don't believe in functioning institutions.
Yeah, right.
For them, this is great.
They want everything to stop and shut down. Right, just defund. And they get mad at us for saying defund the police, but they want to defund everything, the government, nothing to function.
Literally, yeah, everything.
Insane.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
DailyCoach.com, CivicsWithAQ.com, the podcast, The Brief, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, Marcos.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.